Good morning. It's great to have you all here today. My name is Mike. If we haven't met yet, my full name is John Michael Souder. Turn to someone. I know we finally got quiet down. Turn to someone and introduce yourself by your full name. One or two people, just a couple people around you, by your full name. Some of you have two names, some of you have five names. All right. Okay. What is it? Okay. What is it that's such a big deal about a name? What is it that's such a big deal about a name? King Solomon, the wealthiest person who's ever lived, way outpaces Jeff Bezos. King Solomon wrote, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches or wealth." Why is that? Names are more than just a string of characters that make up a word. A person's name tells a story. Aristotle, Augustine, Einstein, Martin Luther King Jr., Lionel Messi, Agnès Gonge Bonjajiju, better known as Mother Teresa. A name carries a reputation with it. Ash Heatwall, Cooper Geisler, Emily Budd, Stacy Johnson, Beverly Sensabaugh, Pat Kinsey, Burt McTeer, Sean Showalter. You hear a name and a lot of other things come along with it. Your name says something about your culture, about your value. It is the one thing that will continue after you die, and it is the one thing that has to be written down in the book of life for you to live forever with God. So if our names are important, how infinitely more important are the names of God, specifically the self-descriptions of God, and how important is it what we believe to be true about those names? Actually, that drives everything you do, what you believe about God. John Calvin, the 16th century reformer, writes, "Nearly all wisdom we possess consists in two parts, the knowledge of God and of ourselves." So with that, we begin a new series titled after a somewhat mysterious name of God. It isn't the first name for God, that's Elohim in the Bible, but it is the first fully unique name of God, a name God gives himself, and he first gives it to Moses. It is, if you haven't guessed, the name I Am. So over the next 7 weeks, these are the 40 days of Lent, which Christians have been practicing since 325 AD as a way of preparing for Easter. We'll be reviewing the seven I am statements of Jesus. I am the bread of life. I am the vine. I am the way, the truth, the life. All of which come from the Gospel of John. All of which help us better understand the character of God. And all of which are rooted in God's first self-pronouncement of I am. So let's pray. God, you created us to know you. You want to be known. You're mysterious. We'll never fully understand you. I'm thankful for that. But I pray that over the next 7 weeks, we would get a deeper awareness, a deeper revelation of you and your character. And that is what changes us in a way nothing else can. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The other night, I met some guys at a friend's birthday party, and it didn't take long for us to start asking each other those questions. You know, it's like a script. What do you do? Right? Where are you from? All of which are fine questions to ask, but more importantly, you are who you are because God is who he says he is in your life. Or you could say it more simply, you are you because God is God. You are you because God is God. Your identity follows a revelation of who God is. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God. You are built, you were built in his likeness, built in his image. You were created to be godlike. Your heart and your brain were made to be courageous and free. You were meant to live with passion and purpose, knowing who you are, and that can only come from knowing who God is. Jesus is our best example for this because he so knew himself because he knew the Father. Jesus' second I am statement came during a sermon in the Jewish temple. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This caused quite a stir among the Pharisees who tried to kill him. And they mocked him. They said, are you greater than our father Abraham? Abraham being the most respected person of all of the Jewish faith. To which Jesus responded to them, truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. And the moment he said those words, I mean, that was when things got really bad. They tried to stone him at that point. But the moment he said those words, they were taken back to the first time that was ever said by God to Moses himself. So that's where we're going to hang out today, in Exodus chapter 3. Some of you are familiar with the story of Moses, by way of review for some of you and an intro for the rest of you. Moses was born into a Hebrew family, making him a Jew or an Israelite around the year 1500 BC. His people, the Israelites, were living as slaves in Egypt for 400 years by that point. When he was born, his mother did this thing where she tried to save him by hiding him, which actually, ironically and miraculously, only resulted in Pharaoh discovering him and essentially adopting him into his Egyptian royalty. So Moses was raised with this sort of dual citizenship. He was a Jew by birth, but he's an Egyptian by adoption. He's a slave turned prince. I mean, it's better than anything Disney could come up with. I mean, they tried to make this, but, you know, they tried to do it. But so one day when Moses is 40 years old, the tension of living in this dual secret sort of double life reaches this tipping point, and he sees an Egyptian guard beating an Israelite, and he murders him and then runs off and hides for the next 40 years. On the screen, we have a map here. It's impossible to see from where you're sitting, but trust me. He leaves Egypt and he makes this long, weird journey over into what is modern-day Saudi Arabia, essentially living as a fugitive and watching sheep and goats for this man named Jethro, who becomes his father-in-law. So in a single day, in one day, he goes from royalty to absolute obscurity. And for the next four decades, and we might think of the best years of his life, he hides. And it's not until he is 80 years old, around the time most of us are slowing down quite a bit, Moses has one of the most amazing days of his life. This should encourage some of you. Not just if you're 80, but if you're, you know, he lived to be 120. So 80 is like middle age. So let's pick up here in the book of Exodus. Way back at the beginning of our Bibles in Exodus chapter 3. Moses is 80 years old. He's a fugitive living, working for his father-in-law. Exodus chapter 3, starting verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. He's like, finally, something to look at, you know, out here in the desert. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. The way he said that was far more like, yeah, what's up? It was more like, he's like, open. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. He was familiar with this God of that name. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out like that, and because of their slave drivers, I am concerned about their suffering. I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. Remember when he left Pharaoh last time? He didn't leave on good terms. I'm sending you to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who've sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, here it is, I am who I am. It could also be interpreted, I will be who I will be. This is what you're to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. The original Hebrew for I am is haya. Not like a chop, but you know, if that's how you want to remember it. Haya. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, that is Yahweh, most famous of all of God's names, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. There is a lot in that passage. I mean, I could pick it apart for hours. Just because it's interesting to me. But I want to focus on what this tells us about the nature of God and who we are as a response to that. This thing speaks very well to this thing of God's simultaneous, couple big words coming alert, transcendence and immanence. It speaks to his transcendence or his distance from us and his simultaneous immanence or nearness to us. We see his transcendence in his name. You know, who are you? I am who I am, Moses. I am or I will be who I will be, eternal, unchangeable, infinite, mysterious. You cannot fully know me, God is saying. I am whoever I want to be, God is saying. I'm independent, self-existing, God is saying. And his very existence is somehow what actually keeps everything in the world turning. But he is above us, beyond us, mysteriously beyond our reach and understanding, and that is something that's very important for us as charismatics to remember. Simultaneously, however, the same passage speaks to his immanence, his nearness. I love the fact that Moses is like, who am I that I should do this thing? He didn't even answer him. He says, I will be with you. I will be with you is his immediate response to Moses's self-doubt and insecurity. God doesn't need to be with us, but he wants to be around. He's infinitely beyond us, and yet he wants to come right down to us to get right on our level. So much he wants to somehow mysteriously live in your head. He wants to live in your head, in your brain, in your heart, in every cell in your body. Jesus is the ultimate expression of that, as we see Jesus as God in human form. His transcendence and his immanence, here's another way we see it. In his transcendence, he creates the universe with the word, let there be light. But in his immanence, he creates humans with what? His hands. Okay, Augur, so what does all this mean for us? I believe it means that we as humans, we are the place where God's transcendence and his immanence meet. It meets in us. The transcendent creator lives in and through his creation. I'm just going to pause here for a second. I was talking with some people yesterday, talking about some vision that I and we are developing for the church. And they were challenging me how this is going to really require all of us. And I found myself pushing back a little bit. And so I confess the sin of agreeing with the 80-20 rule. Have you heard of the 80-20? 20% of people are always going to do 80% of the work. 80% of the people are going to do nothing, or 20% of the work. Actually, I confess I fall into this mindset of 20% of us are going to do everything. That's a sin. That's a wrong belief. The truth is, God has... He wants to embody every single one of you in here. And he isn't so concerned with who we are as much as how open we are to him. He isn't so interested in where you're from or what you do for a living, those being the two questions you always ask somebody when you first meet them. He's interested in living in and through us. Notice how the I am says to Moses, he says, I've seen the misery of my people. I've seen and heard their cries. I am concerned for them. I've come down to rescue them. And suddenly then he shifts and he's like, now go, I'm sending you. So you can imagine Moses is like, well, which is it, God? Are you doing this or I am? Yes. Now you're getting it, Moses. I am who I am and I will be who I will be. Through you. Moses is like, well, who am I that I'm supposed to do this thing? God's like, I will be with you. In other words, who you are is defined by my presence in you, God is saying. You are who you are because I am with you. Years later, God would tell the people it's time to go and to move on. And Moses is like, don't send us up. I'm not going anywhere without you. How else will anyone know who we are? We have no identity apart from God. So it took 40 years or so for Moses to be ready for this moment. Actually, more like 80 years, right? He had 4 decades, 40 years with Pharaoh, and now he has 4 decades or 40 years with Jethro. And he's finally ready because he's finally empty enough for God to be whatever God wants to be through him. He's finally humble enough to realize he can't do it on his own. Remember, 40 years prior to this, Moses didn't think he needed an I am. Moses was going to deliver those people on his own. He sees some trouble and he responds. And what happens? It gets worse for everybody. Have you ever done that? I've done it a million times. You see there's something wrong, and you are going to fix it. And you suffer, and everybody else suffers, because you were trying to be the I am. Finally, at 80, Moses is humble enough, he's open enough, there is now room for God to do what God wants to do in and through him. For a good 6 or 7 years, let's just say most of my 40s, I wrestled with all this stuff of purpose and vocation and calling. I want to do something big with my life, you know? I was in the same office for 19 years, mind you. Person can get bored with that, but I begged God to let me do something big, right? And only now, looking back, can I see the purpose in those years. And only now can I thank God, and you should thank God too, that I didn't get the role I'm in now 1 second earlier. I needed every one of those moments, every one of those days of wandering in the desert, doing the faithful thing, caring for sheep or whatever. I needed those. I needed the quiet time. I needed the obscurity in some ways before I could get in a position where I can do some good, but could also do a lot of harm too. So what about you? What has God lit on fire to get your attention? What has God lit on fire to get your attention? What is the burning bush in your life? Now, it might be something exciting, something new you sense God is doing. It could also be something difficult, scary. I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and as I was on the phone, it felt like a fire in some ways. And then I was reminded of this passage, and I was encouraged by the Lord. I'm doing something here. It's not going to burn up. What is God using to get your attention? He's trying to get your attention. God is trying to get your attention, and he will light things on fire if he has to do that. Are you open to God being the I am, filling in the blanks in your life? I am what? What do you need him to do? The enemy will try to hold you back, and he will talk to you about your position in life, your history in life, your family in life to hold you back. But you can be encouraged. Look at Moses. Moses was born at the worst time in history. Not only were his people all slaves, Pharaoh was killing all the boys. Moses becomes a murderer and a fugitive because he's a failed revolutionary. And now he's living in the middle of nowhere as a shepherd. He doesn't even own the sheep. And God personally meets him, and he gives him a new life. And how does Moses respond? He says, who me? You know, what me? His, you know, his fifth question or his fifth response to God is, please send someone else. You are in good company, I would just say. We're in good company. It doesn't matter what your fears are. It doesn't matter that you're not enough. It doesn't matter where you live or work. It doesn't matter how old you are. God's clearly not bound by time. What matters more than anything is that the God who calls himself the I am has room to come in and do anything he wants in your life. You are who you are because God is who he says he is. And you've been called, every single one of you, every single one of you, if you're a Christian, you have been called to carry the presence of God into the Egypts of your life, to go as Moses this afternoon or tomorrow into your work, into your school, into your office, your job site, wherever you're going. You've been called to go and bring people out of apathy, out of addiction. This wasn't just this for superhero Moses. This has been transferred onto all of us. You've been called to get out there and bring people out of slavery to 100 different horrible masters. So in an hour, Pastor Cesar is going to preach about the same passage, and his insight is that we think of that bush as a nice place to build a camp and to get our marshmallow sticks out and to, you know, finally somewhere warm and safe. And he said, no, the purpose of that fire was to inspire us for mission. So now go. God is saying to you, and he's saying to me, I'm sending you. I've put you in Harrisonburg now. Rockham County, wherever y'all come from. I live in Augusta County. God has put you wherever you are here to impact the people living in very real Egypts right around you every day. And we have got to be bold. Kevin's talking about this all the time. You can be incredibly gentle and bold at the same time. And get in people's faces and tell them the plans God has for them. Years ago, I remember reading this story to my kids, and one of them said, I have this written down. He says, it seems like God is always taking these unfortunate people and making them into something great. That's God's business for us. So I want to pray just for a minute, and then we're going to conclude with some worship. But would you join me in praying? God, we thank you for your promise to always be with us. We thank you that you are here right now, in this moment, right here. Your solution for Moses was, I will be with you, and your solution is the same. So just for a minute, reflect. God is with you right now, right here. And when you think about the Egypt you're trying to get out of, or the Egypt God's called you to bring people out of, what does that look like? We thank you, God, that you're more than enough to get us out and to help us become people that deliver other people. We thank you for your name, I Am. And I envision this blank after it, meaning you can be whatever we most need. Would you fill that blank right now for people in this room? Invite the Lord. Invite him to speak to you right now. God, we thank you that you are comprehensive in your goodness. You can be everything for us. God, would you forgive us for going to 100 other little g gods looking for affirmation, looking for comfort, looking for joy and peace when you have all of it and nobody has the quality of goodness you have. God, we recommit ourselves to you. We are completely dependent upon you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Can we have the ministry team come forward? We love to pray for people, pray for you for any reason. A couple specific things. Some of you here, you really don't have a relationship with Christ, which is fine. You're in the right place. Come forward and let us pray with you to get started in a relationship with God, to begin to really know the I Am. For others of you, you've been walking with God for a while and you just feel flat, like you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. That's okay too. Let us pray for you for that. What struck me as we were worshiping, you know, the name Moses means draw out. So he was drawn out of the water as a baby. But really, it's because he was going to be the one who helped draw these people out of slavery. God has huge purposes in every one of your life. I'm telling you, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Walk with God. Allow God to live in you and through you. He's the only one who saves, but amazingly enough, he wants to do a lot of that work in people's lives through you. God, what a privilege to be able to embody your presence, to be created to be God-like, to be created in your image. God, help us as the people of Grace Covenant to get every single bit of what you had planned for us as individuals and us as a church, and to walk in it with purpose and with power. Make us a fierce threat to every enemy of yours. God, I pray for comfort and healing for every area of brokenness in this room right now. I pray for your goodness and your extravagance to transform us. I pray that over the next 7 weeks in this series, you'd help us to better know what it really means that you are the light, you are our bread, you are the way, the truth, the life. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Love you all. Bless you. Have a great day.